Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited tonight. So would you join us in our Bible study as we have song, scripture, and prayer? Mark Ryan, if you would lead us in song. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules, whether you're in Indianapolis, around the Midwest, around the nation, or around the world. And thank you for joining us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the Word is explained. Tonight we'll have song, scripture, and prayer. Tonight's song is I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. And I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus, what he said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know my hand. For every step is getting wider as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden getting lighter, for every cloud is silver, silver line. Oh, I don't know about tomorrow. Oh, I just live from day to day. And today I walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. But I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. Oh, I know who holds my head.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be reading from Psalms, the 27th chapter. I'm going to start at the 7th verse. Hear my voice, Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. Come, says my heart, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. You do not repel your servant in anger. You are my salvation. Do not cast me off. You are my salvation. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, God, my Savior. Even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. Lord, show me your way. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not abandon me to the desires of my foes. Malicious and lying witnesses have risen against me. I believe I shall see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Take courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord.
Amen.
I read to you through the New Living Translation.
God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for our teacher. And God, we need your strength and guidance. We submit ourselves to you tonight, asking your Holy Spirit to have its way in us, in our lives. Open our minds and our hearts to you and what you have to say. Help us, God, to share your love with others. Help us to share a word with others. Help us to be strong in the face of our enemies. Help us to understand that we have you, and that's more than the whole world could have done. Bless our efforts
Amen.
Tonight, and bless those that will be listening in, that they might receive a blessing from our study tonight. God, we love you, and our love pales in comparison to your love for us. We acknowledge that love and just ask you to be present with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I want you to forgive me. That was a New American Bible. I had opened a parallel Bible and I looked at the wrong place. New American Bible. So we're excited to have you guys with us tonight on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. For we've been having an awesome month during the month of April. We've been talking about this theme regarding God's faithfulness. And Pastor Lester Carver has been taking us through as we look at the forms of God's faithfulness, the faith that we receive freely, how faith comes from God, and believing is what we do with that. Is what we do with that faith. Overcoming unbelief by learning to wait on our faithful God is what we're going to talk about tonight. I read for you Psalms 27 that said, wait for the Lord, take courage to be stout-hearted, wait for the Lord. That's an admonition for us to wait on the Lord. And Pastor Carver is going to walk us through these scriptures tonight and enlighten us and pull together everything we've been talking about for the month of April so that we can close this month with a clear understanding on the concept of God's faithfulness. Brother Carver, if you're ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Dr. Sue. Hey, overcoming unbelief by learning to wait on our faithful God is what we're discussing tonight. And what I wanted to do is open up the discussion with everyone identifying an instance in your life where you had to just wait on God. There was nothing else you could do but wait. And then God came through in a supernatural way for you. Is there anybody who'd like to share your story about how that happened for you?
I would.
Yes, ma'am. Do it.
Oh, On my job, I've kind of had a few challenges, and one of the challenges is that there's a perception where my boss walked into the room, and I had asked him a question about women's Bible literature, and we didn't have any, and so I made a statement to him. I said, you know, that maybe there's some place we could get it free, like American Bible Society. We could get some Bibles or Bible studies or some information about women in the military. And he blew up because he had in his mind that I had done something inappropriate, like calling another facility and asking information, which, I mean, anybody has the right to call anywhere and ask, but he felt that I had done something inappropriately, and he felt that just before I walked in, when I asked him that question, he thought I had in my hand a pamphlet to order books on my own without asking him. And I don't know how he created this idea in his head, but he did. And as a result, he told me that I better not ever do that again, that this was my second strike, and that if I did anything else like that, that was going to be the end of me. And he was very angry. And he said, basically, that was a warning. And so we had a conversation. And I talked to him about this. And I said, you know, it's not true. I didn't have a form in my hand to order books. I had just got that information from the student who was wanting to know if we had the material. Then you walked in the room, and I asked you the question. Well, he went back and verified with that student. He asked that student if that was true. The student had to verify it. Now, I don't think the student is another Marine, another a military person who has been around a long time, and I think the student, you know, said some things to make him feel good, but then he said, but she didn't do that at all. I had just simply asked her a question prior, and that was all there was to it. So what happened is I had to trust and rely on God to vindicate me. And when he did, that person spoke up, and the last responses, according to this guy, was that I've got to write what was wrong, what I did wrong.
Man.
So it was about me trusting and waiting on God to do what God needed to do.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is James. I can share one. There have been many times that I've had to wait on God. But, when I was working as an engineering manager with Navistar, I had a boss that did things to people to hurt them. And a friend of mine wound up having a nervous breakdown, and he wanted to fire people that worked for me, and I wouldn't do it. He wanted me to fire him, I wouldn't do it. So we had arguments going on for probably a year, year and a half, because of the way he treated people. And then I started praying for him and praying for our group. And after these many months, he got sick and had to leave the company. And I never heard from him again. And our whole group changed for a while. But it was an exercise in faith and also in patience, because he really tried my patience. And until I started praying for him, you know, things really weren't changing. But when I started praying for him and being faithful to God's word, praying for our enemies, and I perceived him to be an enemy.
Amen.
And things changed.
That's amen. Awesome.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Just not, Brett.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Hey, glad to be back. This goes back to the Vietnam War. and I was in the Air Force, and I was assigned to an operation called Miracle Ear. What that entailed was planting listening devices on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. We would go in at night, infiltrate as far as we could, and then we start setting up listening devices. And everything had to be wired together. So that means as we worked our way back to our camp, then we could be detected or whatever. But one of the things I always kept in my mind was the 23rd Psalm. And the reason for that is because it tells you to be quiet sometimes. You know, you lie beside the still waters. And that's what I did. Whenever we were close to the enemy and stuff, we just lay down, breathe normal. Everybody was quiet. And eventually, over time, they went away. The only thing about that is that sometimes we did get into some enemy fire and stuff like that. But, you know, when you have God on your side, he's going to bring you through. And that's what he did for me. So all the time that I spent over there, a 23rd Psalm was my Bible. So I had that in my head. And yeah. And people don't believe it, but a lot of times what people are going through, if they would just recite the 23rd Psalm, I find that if you do that every day for 7 days, that will change things in your life for the better.
Right.
You know, God is a good God, you know, and if you have faith, hey, like they say, you can move mountains. I didn't move a mountain, but I was able to get the enemy away from me. That's
well, Brett,
story.
I'm gonna ask you a
sure.
favor.
What?
You mentioned that Psalm 23 is the is a great place to start. We're going to be in the book of Psalm quite a bit tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to do is see if I could get you to go to Psalm 27, and we're going to be reading from verses 13 and 14, if you could get that.
Already got it up.
Oh, awesome. All right.
This is from the New International Version. 13 starts with, I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord.
Tell us about what that speaks to you.
Everything that is good, if you wait for the Lord, it's going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I learned a long time ago, and people are guilty of doing that today, they keep praying over the same thing day after day, wanting to try to hurry God. You can't hurry him. Once you done said what you had to say to him, leave it alone. He'll take care of it on his time. You know, if you say, God, I need money for this cough medicine or whatever, or going to the doctor, he didn't hurt you. He's got that. That'll come to you. But you keep doing this over and over and over again. It becomes, to me, it's like you're begging him to do something for you. You're not letting your faith work for you. Because if you have faith in the Lord and in God, then all you have to do is say what you got to say. Leave it alone. It's coming. Believe me, as sure as I'm here standing on this earth, God is going to come. He's going to answer your prayer, and you are going to be so surprised how fast that it comes to you.
Amen.
I've never known him to fail.
And you know, it has a lot to do with our expectation. A lot of people, for some reason, they have an easier time believing for what's going to be in eternity and the hereafter after Jesus Christ returns. But God wants glory right now today, and he's going to use you to get glory if you believe. But the way that we wait either brings God glory or diminishes from the glory that God can get. So if we wait as if we really don't believe, if we're panicking and running all over the place and complaining, and that's one of the reasons why it says in Philippians that we're to do all things without complaining and murmuring, because we misrepresent God when we act as if we don't expect God to deliver. and to be absolutely on time. And I've been guilty of this myself, where, you know, and this is what you do. When you panic and you don't wait on God, you put your hands on things that your hands should not touch. One of the things I was about recently was how they were recovering the Ark of the Covenant from an enemy, and they were not carrying the Ark properly, which was to be on poles lifted up by four people. And they put the Ark on a cart, and the Ark started to fall, and somebody tried to keep the Ark from touching the ground, and they touched the Ark, and they died. And David was upset about this, King David. But we are not to touch the things of God so that God can get glory. Remember when Moses struck the rock to get the water out? That, the problem with that, because people would say, well, what's the problem with Moses striking the rock twice? It looked like Moses was bringing the water forth, not God. God told Moses, speak to the rock, right? And what was supposed to happen is Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, and water was supposed to come gushing forth from God, and God would have got all the glory. And Moses was chastised because of that, right? So when we lack the expectation for God to show up by not waiting patiently, expectantly, and being strong in heart. You know, being strong and taking heart is really learning to be at peace. And some people are at the point where they can believe to speak in tongues to themselves and be calm. Some people are at the point where they can fast and learn to be calm. Some people are at the point where they can pray with their understanding and learn to be calm. Some people are at the point where just being around other believers helps to take their mind off of whatever it is they're worrying about. And a lot of times what I tell you that really will help you is if you comfort somebody else when you're going through and during that time when you're waiting, what you're going to find is the Holy Spirit is going to comfort you during that time. I'd like to know if somebody would be available to read Psalm 33, verses 20 to 22. Is there anybody who can handle that?
Brother teacher, I wanted to say something on this, Psalm 27.
Oh, yes, sir. Go right ahead.
There's two things. First of all, from 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to talk about negative Christians. We
Preach.
Fall victim to this negativity quite a bit, and it's like we don't really have confidence that God is going to let us see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we really ought to check ourselves when we find ourselves falling victim to negativity, because Christians ought to be some of the most confident people in the world.
Amen.
When we truly lean and depend on God and believe that God is going to let us see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, even when we are going through stuff, we still ought to have confidence and not be negative. That's the first thing. And then this wait for the Lord. Some people have interpreted wait to mean do nothing.
Do nothing, right. And I have a question.
That's not what God meant in this. I mean, to wait is to anticipate. And I mean, you're still supposed to be busy doing what God would have you to do, but it's just being anticipatory or abiding, lingering. It doesn't mean sit still and do nothing until God shows up and does everything. So that's we need to get out of that. So negative Christians, we should not be, and we should not feel like we're supposed to just sit around like some Christians say, I'm a pew Christian.
Here's my question for you, Dr. Nooks, question is, if you are not leaning on God, what are you leaning on?
Yeah, you're leaning on yourself or somebody else.
On your own understanding, right? Which the Bible tells us not to in Proverbs 3:5, right? Now, if you are leaning on your own understanding, you are one of these negative Christians because you think you got it all figured out. And you're looking at the circumstances. You're not looking at the price that Jesus Christ paid at Calvary by dying on the cross for your physical wholeness and your spiritual deliverance from sin. And then you are saying that the circumstances, that the devil is greater than your God. And you're betting against yourself, and you're betting against God, and you're going to lose. So And that's why we got to be careful about who we confide in, who we share what God has given us to do with, right? Because there are people who can speak to those negative things that, you know, remember when Jesus Christ was performing certain miracles, he had to put the unbelievers out of the room? And sometimes yes. The unbelievers were the people closest to him, Peter, James, and John. He had to get rid of his boys for a minute, right? That's a hard thing. But the question is always, are we trying to glorify God or are we trying to satisfy people, right? Do you think, Dr. Nooks, you could read Psalm 33, 20 to 22 for me?
Yes, I've got it. This is the New Living Translation. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. My Lord.
Preach. Preach.
Yeah.
Speak to it. Expound.
Well, our hope, what we are looking for, what we are anticipating, what we're expecting, you know, the good things that we're looking toward, it's in the Lord and not in ourselves. And God is our shield. So we rejoice in the fact that we trust in God's holy name. And that's shouting territory. When we understand that our hope is in the Lord, because I don't know about you all, but I put my hope in myself sometimes. I put my hope in my abilities, my knowledge. I put my hope in other people, put my hope in institutions, a job, a car, whatever. I mean, and you get disappointed every time.
Well, you know, one of the things I'd like to share with you, which is going to bless you, is our hope is in the Lord, but specifically, more specifically for us, our hope is in the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ is going to return, knowing that he can return at any moment. He can return right now. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive will be changed and meet them together in the air, and we're all going to be with the Lord at that moment in a twinkling of an eye. That is our hope. The Greek word for that is the parousia, right, which we look forward to. That is going to happen. And those of us who look forward to that return, who look forward to that day, who actually have that hope in our hearts, are going to receive a reward for that hope, because when you expect that Christ is going to return at any moment, it affects the way you live. You are wanting to be found doing God's work, reconciling the world back to God when Christ returns. I know I want to be found at work if I'm still alive when he returns, right? Is there anyone else who wants to speak to this passage from Psalm 33, 20 to 22? And remember, our subject is overcoming unbelief by learning to wait on our faithful God. So it's about God's faithfulness and our disposition of learning to be quiet and peaceful and resolute and expecting. Anybody? Because we do have a number of scriptures to get to. Anybody want to look at Psalm 62, 5 to 8. Anybody have it?
Psalm 62.
5 to 8.
Okay, I have it. Anybody else have it?
Yes, sir, it's all yours.
Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge.
Amen.
Our brother Richard Carr, didn't I?
No, that's it.
Okay.
That was it. And the thing I want to point out before you get going on this is it's your soul that finds rest at God at the beginning. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Remember that, because your mental and emotional health are in that portion of the more than abundant life. That's your soul, is the mental and the emotional piece. And people say, I want to live the more than abundant life, and they're just talking about financial stuff and having some things, right? But what God wants for you is mental, emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual wholeness. And all five of those components are your life. And that is now today, so that your rewards are intact in eternity and you can function fully in eternity, going in and out of the holy city, etc. So what else do you see here in this passage in Psalm 62:5-8?
Well, I see also that this is a psalm of David, and often the psalms are written by him, but there are other people that wrote psalms also. But David was a person that was in trouble. He was being pursued. And he has a message here that he waits quietly before God, or his hope was in God. So even in his strength, even in his might, even in his, you know, it said Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. So David realized that his victory was in God alone. And all the enemies that were around him, he found refuge in God.
Mm-hmm.
A rock where no enemy can reach him. So that internal strength that you're talking about, it comes from God. And then he sends a message, "Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge." So he's sending a message corporately to people, to Israel at that time. But we need to send the same message to people also, that God is our refuge. We need to remind people about that. But sometimes we do tend to lean on our own understanding and also our own strength, our own money, our own jobs, and so many things. But we need to understand that God is our refuge and not those things.
Amen. You know, one of the things I see here is this point that he makes where he says, "I will not be shaken," right? And that is the attitude we have in order to wait on God, knowing God is faithful, right? So when we are making declarations with our mouth, we are to say, just like David's saying, "I will not be shaken in the face of incredible circumstances." I know we've all been there. Would someone want to speak to some examples of that, where you were tempted to operate in fear, but God said, "Just stay still"?
Well, this is Dr. Susie. The example I gave earlier was an example because I wanted to just leave. And, you know, when somebody is mistreated of you, but through prayer and listening to God, God worked it out. And that was my whole point in saying I was waiting on God. God was faithful and just righteous to see me through.
Amen. Dr. Susie, do you think you could look at Psalm 130, verse 5?
Okay. Psalm 130, verse 5. I'm reading through the New American Standard Bible.
You could probably go to 6.
There we go.
5 and 6.
Okay. 130, verse 5 and 6. I waited for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. And I hope for his word. My soul looks for the Lord. More than centennials for daybreak. More than centennials for daybreak.
Amen.
Amen. And remember, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. In this translation I'm looking at here, the NIV, it says, "My whole being waits," right? And that is where we want to get to. where our whole being waits expectantly for the Lord. When we realize we're bringing God glory by learning to be quiet, to be at peace, to be resolute, to be expecting God to show up, that's what allows us to praise Him in the middle of a storm. And some people say the safest place in the storm is right in the middle of it, looking up. You see those, have you ever seen on the movies, they have people in the middle of a tornado looking straight up and all this stuff is flying around them and they're just looking up in the clear sky and the sun is up at the top of the eye of the tornado, right?
That, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how you get in that place without going through all this stuff, right? But if you're in that place, if God has you there, you're kept. And if you keep looking up, you see the sun and you understand the storm doesn't last forever, right? You see that God is faithful. You see that all God's promises that you meditate upon are yours when you've made the word a part of who you are, right?
Amen.
So think about that, though. The next time you're in a challenge, because this stuff isn't theoretical. This is real.
Well, this is Dr. Susie. This is Dr. Susie, where it talks about more than centennials for daybreak. Centennial is the watchman. And in the city, the watchman would wait and guard the gate and be on duty to protect the city. And so eagerly waiting, but they were waiting for daybreak. I'm talking about waiting for daybreak. At daybreak, that's when they would be relieved of their duty. So my point I'm trying to say is that the watchmen are eagerly waiting daybreak because that's their relief of duty. So if we look at things eagerly, it's the concept of the eagerness, the way that the soul looks for the Lord as when you're ready to get off work. You know, 4 o'clock is coming and you're ready to go. So that's an anticipation. These centennials were ready to be off duty. And so they were looking for that time to be relieved from duty. And it was an example that he was simply giving of what that might look like. The eagerness.
Amen.
Look towards the Lord.
Does anybody have Psalm 145, and I'm going to read like 13, verse 13 and a half to 16. If not, I can read it.
You said Psalms what?
Psalm 145, and it's verse 13 and a half to 16.
I got it. This is Brett. This is from the New International Version. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithfulness in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are blown down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. 16 says, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing.
Amen. Speak to that, Brett.
Amen. Amen.
And God, what jumps out at you about that?
When he speaks about what everything that the Lord is doing for everybody. And the key to the whole thing is he says, it happens at the proper time. Didn't say it happens on your time. Didn't say it happens on your wife's time. Didn't say it happened on the priest's time. It says at the proper time. That means that's God's time.
Amen.
That's something we can't rush. And if we understand what we read, then we know that is the key to this whole thing. Everything I just read, the whole key is that this all happens at the proper time. That's when he feeds us. That's when he gives us the knowledge that we need to have. That's when he will do everything that we have prayed about and everything that he wants to do for us. Because even though we ask for certain things, God got something else planned for you to give you a blessing on something because, hey, you've been steadfast in your faith.
Right.
He gives you bonuses. And we have to be ready to receive that. Now, that's what I get out of it.
Right.
I like verse 14. This is James. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads.
Amen.
Well, I know that some of the worst times in my life, some of the most difficult times, I have been filled with God's joy and presence and made no sense to anybody but me. But God, I mean, when you are bent, when you're fallen, when you have been burdened down with great loads, for me, a personal testimony, God does help the fallen. Sometimes that's when I have had the greatest communion with God. It's when I was in a fallen state. It seems
Amen.
Like sometimes when we are flying high, we don't commune with God the way we should, but difficulties bring us down. And especially when you feel like you're all alone, and then whoosh, God's presence fills you. And you cry tears of joy, and it's like I said, people don't understand, but that I have experienced this a lot in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Because I'd like to go to Isaiah 25:9 next, if anybody has Isaiah 25:9.
I'll have it here in a minute. I have it.
What you see here is God has a proper time. And I think it's that Greek word kairos, right? There's chronos, chronological time, and then there's kairos, which is a specific moment ordained by the Lord, right? And when we expect God to show up, we don't know how many other things God is doing on our behalf that we don't even know need to be done. And that is where you're submitting to a Lord who knows everything. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's the only one who knows everything, past, present, future. And God is also omnipresent, so he's present everywhere. God is also omnipotent. He's all-powerful, right?
Amen.
So we're all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere-present God is the one that we rely on to solve our problems. And when we are praying, we understand he's the one that even gives us the desire of what to pray for. So our expectation should be he is going to show up. Everything he's trying to do is going to get accomplished, and he's simply using us as a vehicle to get glory. We're like the canvas that he is painting his story of his might and power and dominion on. So whoever has Isaiah 25:9, if you could read that, that would be a blessing.
I have it. I was just going up reading some of the scriptures before that, but I'll read 9. In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings."
And what do you see there? And if I could ask you just to read it a little slower so we can get that, because there's something there.
In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings."
Wow. So look at how much is in that one verse: God's salvation, the people's trust, and the fact that God is getting glory from these people, right? And you see that the result, the outcome is the rejoicing, right? How many things do we rejoice about in our life every day when God comes through in the midst of the craziness, right? Anybody want to speak to some of that?
Well, I mean, this is James. If you read up above that, it looks like he's talking about the end times, because he's talking about wipe away all tears, as we see in Revelation 21. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against this land, his land and people. It talks about, you know, a change. It swallow up death that hangs over the earth. So he's talking about the end times. And because Israel, and this is Israel, Isaiah speaking to Israel, but and Israel will come to God.
Right.
But it is talking about the salvation, and this gets to what you were talking about earlier in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But we trusted in him, and he saved us. So there'll be two prophets that will arise, and Israel will turn to God, and there will be some that will be saved, and they will turn to God. I mean, now you have the Messianic Jews, but many Jews do not accept Jesus as the Son of God, but they will. This talks about a different time.
Right. I'm going to ask that somebody find Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, but while you're looking for that, I'm going to read something to you that I want you to really just get quiet. I would ask you maybe even to close your eyes so you can hear what is embodied in this piece I'm going to read to you. It's called Wait on God from City of My Soul. It says, and this is God speaking, it says, I could give you all you seek and pleased you would be. You'd have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depths of my love for each saint. You'd not know the power I give to the faint. You'd not learn to see through clouds of despair. You'd not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence are all you can see. You'd never experience the fullness of love when the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You would know that I give and I save for a start, but you would not know the depth of the love of my heart. The glow of my comfort late into the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond getting just what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. You'd never know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dearest dreams overnight would come true, but oh, the loss if I lost what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child. And in time you will see that the greatest gift is to truly know me. And though if my answers seem terribly late, my most precious of all is still wait. That is Wait on God from City of My Soul. I don't know the author. But I would like for whoever has Isaiah 40, 28 to 31 to read that, because we're going to hear God talking to us in a way that he really wants to touch us with in this passage. Whoever has it, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31.
This is Britt. I got it in the New International Version. 28 says, do you not know what you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grows tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Amen. Talk about that.
Amen.
Talk about that prayer.
You know what? As we get older, we get arthritis, rheumatism. We can't walk the way we used to walk. And those of us that are ministers, in our younger days, we were able to walk the pews and stuff. But this sounds like we're going to skip over churches and stuff. We're going to soar in ways that we have never even thought about. Because God is going to come, and when he takes us, we will see that you don't need an airplane. You don't need to be in a kite. You don't need to be in anything that's going to hold you back or bring you back to earth. Because once you leave from here, hey, you're going to somewhere a lot better. And glory to God for that blessing.
Now, you know, when I read this, though, one of the things I hear and I see is that he seems to be speaking to right now. Remember how we read earlier about that expectation now of what God is going to do here in the land of the living, right? And, you know, there are times when we all grow weary and tired and we stumble. And, you know, when we normally stumble and fall is when we're tired and hungry. And it's the best time to keep your mouth shut and stay away from people.
Amen.
And if you are around people, don't do anything. Don't make any important decisions when you're tired and hungry. And then just pray. But it says that those who hope in the Lord, when our strength rests in him, then our physical strength is renewed because we learn to be at peace. And when we should be resting at night, we're not up worrying about stuff. We're resting. And when we wake up, it looks like we were rested, right? But if you're not at peace, if the devil's able to torment you with stress and worry about things that haven't even happened. See, tomorrow, remember the song that Mark sang earlier tonight? He said, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't worry about the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said, that the one who holds tomorrow, right, he's the one who holds our hand. My mom used to sing that song when I was little. And it stuck with me, and it helped
me. Amen.
And I'll tell you, that is how we have to live because, you know, we don't have all power. We don't have all knowledge. We're not present everywhere, but our Heavenly Father is. So we have to believe that when we need something, he's going to get it to us. When we need to know something, he's going to tell it to us. When we need power, he's going to give it to us. And also, what I've observed is when we don't learn how to stay still, God has a way of sitting us down. Have you noticed what happens when people get sick and in the hospital? What do? They stop feeding them food. They're on a liquid diet, right? The IV drip, right? They're resting in a bed, right? And they are recovering. Now, you can do that voluntarily. You don't have to wait till you get sick to go to the hospital to fast and be still and relax, right? You can drink water and lay down and be still at home and meditate on God and praise him and all the rest of that instead of worrying, instead of running all over the place like a chicken with her head cut off, right? And let God be God. That even sounds crazy. Let God be God. Are you kidding me? Right? He's all power. And then it says, when we get to that point, yeah, I know, it's absurd. But then it says that we will soar on wings like eagles. And what's important about that is an eagle's wings have a unique structure. Their feathers have a unique structure. You know how other birds, you see them and they're ascending by virtue of how quickly they flap their wings. Well, an eagle's wings are designed so that they're designed to soar on the air itself. The air is designed to carry the eagle. And so soaring is a little different than flying, where you're just beating your wings real fast and going up. Ducks can fly, right? Geese can fly. Turkeys can fly. But turkeys can't soar. Don't be a turkey. Get up there okay. and then just float. The air is designed to carry you. You're an eagle, right? So anyway, anybody else have any thoughts about that? Because our next scripture is Habakkuk 2:3. Actually, Habakkuk 2:2-3, if anybody has that. I can read it if nobody has it. It says, Habakkuk 2:2-3 says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay.' And what I see here is how God's word was written in the stars. God's word was written on stone tablets. God's word was written on scrolls. And then God's word was printed as we have it today. And now God's word is published throughout the earth via the internet. So Amen. There is no excuse. And it will come. And even though the things that have been promised, like the return of Christ, is not here yet, and we've been waiting for it for quite some time, we eagerly expect it to come to pass because God promised it. It will certainly come, right? I have a question. Has anyone here seen the difference between a desire and a goal that God has given you to achieve that you did not write down, and then the goal that God gave you and you took the time to write it down and you wrote down an objective about what you were going to do, and then you expected God to do everything else associated with making that thing come to pass, and God honored that? Anybody? I know we got some business people out there. Mark? Dr. Beaver?
Go ahead and give us an example, Lester.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you. Here's when I started my company 20 years ago. I got down on the floor in the middle of my room because I was looking in between two other job offers and the possibility of starting this business that I really was kind of hesitant about starting, but my wife was all over me because she didn't want me to take the other two jobs. And I wrote down Carver Design Studio Incorporated, and I wrote a list of everything I needed, and God honored that in 1997.
Amen.
January. And the fact that this small company is still here, having worked on projects as large as the Indianapolis International Airport and as small as somebody's house.
Go ahead.
Through architecture, you know. But God is honored that because God is faithful. And there were times when our enemies were huge, and God was always with us. And when I went back to that list, I actually came across that list once when I was moving. And what I found was, everything that I wrote down that I needed, God supplied. And only when you come across those lists, when you write it down, you know, we have to write down a business plan. You write down your business plan, and then you see, oh, my goodness, did all that really happen? And then when you're putting together your resume and updating LinkedIn and other things, and you're writing down this long list of projects, you're saying, did I really do all that work? Because when you're in it, when you're busy, when you're doing what God is giving you to do, you're not necessarily keeping track of how much is getting accomplished. But if you ever have the time to look back, you won't believe what God did because it's God doing it. And God always has us looking forward, always has us going
Amen.
From grace to grace, from faith to faith, right? That's where expectation has to be because we're going to get stronger by virtue of showing up every day, right? But if you don't show up to work every day, you don't get paid. So if you don't show up for duty and receive God's grace and mercy at the beginning of the day, every day, and you find yourself spiritually deficient, emotionally drained, or mentally drained and emotionally unbalanced, right? Then perhaps you just need to take that time to focus. Just stop sit down, read God's word, read Psalm, the book of Psalm, and let it minister to you so that you can be in that place where you just wait for God to tell you what to do, because what you're listening for, that's what you're doing. You are listening for God to speak to you. And there are a lot of other distractions we have. There was a time in my life I used to go around, this is mid-90s, saying my life was hell. I would say that. I'd say, my life is hell. People would ask, oh, how you doing? I said, oh, my life is hell. And I was creating that. But to add to that, I was listening to like some of the most horrid music you ever want to imagine on the regular, right? And it was feeding into that narrative of my life being hell. And what I realized is just like I could create that situation, God had me take all my rap music for 2 years, put it in a couple big trash bags. That's how many. That was back when we had cassette tapes, right? Put all those cassette tapes in two big trash bags. And I just said, I'm not listening to any of that the next 2 years and listen to just gospel rap and gospel music and other things. And it ministered to me. It helped me. It helped get me in a place where that soundtrack of defeat and failure and misery and frustration and everything is a fight. God started working on me and chipping away at this wall I set up and started getting me ready to receive so that he could make me into what I am today. And you know, and people be like, who do you think you are today? I'm son of the Most High, and you come against me, you're not fighting me, you're fighting God, and you lose. And it doesn't matter what I look like, it doesn't matter what I drive, it doesn't matter where I live. You need to know who you're dealing with, and if you don't, you're about to find out.
All right. Come on.
I haven't always been here, but I'm here now by the grace of God, right? And when I look at what I used to speak over my life is hell. And it was just something I would say so casually and so regularly that people are like, oh, man, he's tough. I'm like, tough? I was ignorant, you know? And we got to be careful about what comes out of our mouth so that while we're waiting on God, we're glorifying God and not speaking against ourselves, not betting against ourselves.
Amen.
Not being in a position where you're worth more dead than alive. Right? This is why things like the lottery and insurance is ungodly, because your focus is off of your more than abundant life and on some worldly concept that is really there to steal your increase, right, and your attention. Most people, why they fail is the failure to focus. I want to see if anybody has Hebrews. If we can get these last two chapters, I don't know if we can. I have them here. Hebrews 3. Verses 12 to 15, I'm going to read this real quick. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. As has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So what that is saying to us is we are supposed to reject an unbelieving heart. A wicked heart of unbelief is our enemy. And so when we remember that overcoming unbelief by waiting on God is how we say that our God is faithful. Our expectation is he's always going to show up. He always has shown up. And we don't allow ourselves to move from the position where our blessing is coming, because the devil, he can't see the future, but he can see God moving something closer to you. And if your blessing is arriving to you, all the devil has to do is get you to move. So if he can scare you into moving out of position, you're delaying the arrival of your whatever it is God is bringing to you. Or if God needs you to go somewhere to get closer to your blessing, to arrive at that Kairos time, at that Kairos moment, and you refuse to move because you're afraid, right, then you won't be where you need to be when you need to be there. So the key is to listen to when God says move and move. Listen to when God says stay and stay, because fear, when the devil, when a lion roars, it's designed to either shake you in fear and cause you to freeze, or cause you to flee and run when God needs you to stay still. And it's not that there's any one answer. It's that you have to listen for God to tell you when to stay still and when to run, right? Anybody else have any thoughts?
This is Mark. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
You know, I think it's so there's so many lessons to be learned just out of the last 3 minutes of what Pastor has been speaking of in regard to recognizing, having a focus, recognizing that it's so important that we listen, that we learn what we say, or be very careful about what we say, because the power of death is and life and death is in our tongue. The power of positioning, recognizing that these are what I call tactical skills that not only that you learn in business, but this is tactical skills for learning in life in Jesus Christ. Recognizing
Amen.
That if you position yourself, God will direct you in which way to go, and if you listen, He will tell you what to say, and even more, if you don't hurt yourself, you can call things as if they weren't, and it will happen. And I truly believe, you know, what Pastor's talking about, that we speak in expectation. And I remember back 20 something years ago, you know, when I started my business, and all I had was a prayer, an expectation, and a napkin. Now that napkin was, in most cases, was a business plan, and all I could do was focus and forecast, you know, and that focus and forecast in the secular was talking about on focusing on a company or focusing on a sector. But, you know, it's really special when we recognize when we focus on Jesus and allow Jesus to direct our footsteps, He will
Amen.
Truly enlarge our territory. So it's been a blessing
Amen.
To hear so many different tactical concepts that literally will make our lives change if we listen and
well, Dr.
Amen.
Beaver,
Amen.
Yeah, if unless somebody has Hebrews 10:19-25, that is the teaching. And I know we're out of time, but yeah, that was the last verse. So you all can jot that down, Hebrews 10:19-25, because, you know, the word speaks over and over and over about how we're to overcome unbelief by learning to wait on our faithful God.
Amen.
Amen. Can we usually like to go around, Brother Lester, and get everybody to say one thing that they'd like to share with the radio audience about what they learned tonight. And one of the things that jumped out at me as we went through the encouraged text was to be encouraged to wait. You know, that
Amen.
Was reiterated over and over and over to me. So oftentimes, you know, we might want to run ahead of God, but to be steadfast in our prayer, you know, Brother Britt and I disagree a little bit because it says to pray unceasingly, which is why I think people pray over and over and over, because it means continuously.
Yeah.
And so some people, you know, for me, that's active waiting, as Dr. Nooks was talking about, actively waiting. And then, like a waiter serves us, we're to actively wait on God to give us direction and to be in God's will. So that's what jumped out at me.
Amen.
Brother, anybody else? Brother Nooks?
Oh, what jumped out at me is just that God is there. God is there to help us. Even in the difficult times, God is faithful. And that knowing God is faithful ought to cause us to be more positive people and have faith in God. And even though the storm is raging, to understand that, you know, we can still find peace in the midst of the storm.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Brett?
Yeah, I agree with you, Dr. Susie. What you said about our differences, it's very small, but my whole concept is like every morning I go into prayer and I ask God to bless those that I love and care about and for my relatives. And each day brings something new, and I ask God to put his armor around everybody because we don't know how the devil's going to come towards our loved ones and friends. So I ask him every day to please renew the person's strength, renew their commitment.
Amen.
In the word.
Amen.
And I ask that he put his divine protection on everybody. One of the things I think that needs to be said here is that what we have studied today has truly been a blessing to me and a lot of other people. And for those that are listening that are first-time listeners, this was all started many years ago where we were trying to get the authoritative word of God out to everybody, to get rid of the myths that mire the ministry a lot of times. And so you're going to hear people say certain things, and our own experiences that we've gone through that has brought us to where we are today. But keep in mind, when you start your faith, you're taking baby steps. And as your steps get bigger and you can get up and run, once you learn how to run and walk, then God's going to bless you even more. But you've got to keep the faith. And that's what this is all about. We have to keep our faith. We have to do what God wants us to do. And we cannot allow the devil to come in and distract us and tear us away from what we're doing. Because when you take on your commitment of being a Christian, you are to walk a different step. You are supposed to do things
Amen.
Entirely different than what you've done before.
Amen.
And that's how people can see in you a change. That's how people can marvel at you
Amen.
And look at you and say, hey, there's something about you that's entirely different. I like what I see. What is it? And that's when you can say, hey,
Amen.
I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Just that simple.
Amen. Amen. Brother Mark. All right. Brother Lester, you want to close it off? You know, again,
yes,
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for this awesome Bible study time, because, you know, even though we understand that the lesson is about God's faithfulness and learning to wait on God's faithfulness, this particular lesson, but overall it was talking about we could rest assured and be confident in the faithfulness of God. So, Brother Lester, give us the last word of what you want to sum this up with. And we want to thank the radio listeners today for joining us and being focused with this last month of April on talking about God's faithfulness.
Amen. The last word I'd like to leave everyone with is that in order to believe, to pray continually, right? To pray at all times and know that you're praying perfectly is to believe, to learn to speak in tongues at all times to yourself. And what you find is that you will be interceding directly into the heavenly for things that you have no knowledge of but are having a direct impact on. And that is what the Bible means when it's talking about praying continually. It's praying in the Spirit. And remember that the Apostle Paul said, I thank my God, I pray, I speak in tongues, pray in the Spirit more than ye all. And if you look at all the works that Paul did, that's what empowered him to do those works. Just as it empowered him, it'll empower you. So do you want me to pray, Dr. Susie?
No. I still wanted to do the praise report. And
yeah, that was our head. That was
so
all right.
Is there a praise report? We need to do our praise reports and prayer concerns tonight. So I know that there are people who have issues of which we need to be praying for, and I don't want to be remiss of not lifting those prayer concerns up.
Amen.
Again, I'm one of the ones who are asking for prayer for a job, a ministry, place of ministry. a permanent place of ministry. And I asked that prayers for Sean and Marcus. I don't think he's back on the line, but ask for prayer for him and his business, and I pray for all the businesses on the line. I ask to pray for my business as well, as I have to get busy and do something this year, or else I'm not going to be able to call it a business anymore. And asking prayer for Dr. Nixon, do you have any prayer requests or praise reports that you wanted to share? And so I'd like to lift up Eric and his family as well. Brother Les Wilson in Cleveland, Ohio, is having surgery on Friday. So we want to definitely lift him and his family up and trust that God will be with them and walk with him through that process. Is there anybody else? Dr. Nix, prayer concerns?
Always keep me in prayer. Pray for our country.
Amen. Brother Nix, who prayed? Who did I ask to pray? Was it you, Brother Nix?
No, Lester.
Before we started? Yes, Lester. Brother Lester, would you please pray?
Sure.
If you're available.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for how awesome you are, God. We thank you for your faithful presence in our life, God. We thank you for your faithfulness in our life and the power that we can always call upon at any time, God. We thank you for how you're continually present in our life, through our life, to our life, God. Father, we thank you for your power that you introduce to our being mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, God, that allows us to be more than conquerors in every situation, God. We thank you for you having given us perfect health, God. We thank you for the stripes that your son Jesus Christ took for that health, for that wholeness, God. Father, we thank you for the United States of America, God, and for the president and his cabinet, God. We thank you for our Congress, for you lifting any areas of hardness and hardness that would come against the old, the young, and the weak, and those who you are seeking to protect, God. Father, I thank you for you blessing Britt today. I thank you for you having your angels encamped about Les Wilson during his surgery, and for the medical professionals doing their absolute best and being focused and alert when they are attending to him. I thank you for SalesWise Inc., Shawnette's company, just prospering in unexpected ways. I thank you for the Bryant Group, Mark's company, prospering in unexpected ways. I thank you for Dr. Susie getting a permanent ministerial position at a place that is a blessing to her and a blessing to the place where she's ministering. God, I thank you for your presence in my family, in my marriage, for your restoration taking place right now at this moment, and for you putting me in a place on firm ground, firm footing for the rest of my life and my assignment with my wife. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for this Bible study, for the love connection, and all who listen tonight. And I thank you for you blessing them greatly. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Feel free to join us again next week as Brother Mark Bryant will be talking with us about how to go through challenges with faith, how to face your fears with faith. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.